Lake Effect brings you conversations about what's happening in Milwaukee and the people, places, and organizations that shape the community. This is Lake Effect Spotlight from WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR.
Today, Humboldt Park is home to Chill on the Hill, community events, fishing in the lagoon, the Vine Beer Garden, and so much more. It took a lot of work to shape the park into its current footprint, and to learn more about its history, I met with Bayview historian and author Ron Winkler in the park. He begins with sharing Humboldt Park's creation story.
It was just land that belonged to two families. It was the Mann family, and their mansion still stands on Logan Avenue, just north of Idaho Street. So they owned that land, and then the other land that became part of Humboldt Park was owned by the Wilcox family, and that was the western part. So the initial park, the boundaries were from Logan Avenue to Howell Avenue. Southern boundary was Oklahoma Avenue, which at the time was Milwaukee's southern boundary. And then Idaho Street was the northern boundary. So that was the initial acreage that was purchased for the original Humboldt Park, which of course at that time was called South Park. So there were five parks that were created in 1890.
Right, and this was before we even had a Milwaukee County park system, right? These first five parks?
That's right. They were, in fact, created by the city of Milwaukee because there were no free public gathering places. There were a few small squares and triangles and things that were green spaces, but not very big. And there were beer gardens, but the beer gardens charged. So the city wanted to provide something for all of the citizens. So they created five parks. South Park, which became Humboldt Park. Lincoln Park, which became Kosciusko Park. North Park, which became Sherman Park. West Park, which became Washington Park. And Lake Park, which is the only one that has retained its original name. So
who was the Humboldt that Humboldt Park is named after? Because it was renamed, what, a couple years after it was first established?
In 1900, yes.
Okay.
And it was named for Baron von Humboldt, who was a lifelong resident of Berlin, which was at that time part of Prussia. And he was quite a Renaissance man. He was kind of like our Wisconsin Increase Lapham, but on a much larger scale. And he traveled a lot of places and did a lot of research and exploration in areas that had only been explored by Spanish-speaking people. So he did a lot of work on the western coast of South America. So what he did was to do a lot of research, and it was just incredible what he found out. He even was able to determine through his studies that human-induced climate change was taking place. So he is considered the father of climatology and environmentalism.
So we're sitting in front of the lagoon, which is kind of the park's main focal point, central location. It's looked different over the decades, even centuries, since this park was first established, but it was built into this park, correct?
That's correct. The park was opened up in 1891, and one of the first projects they did was to create a lake or a lagoon, as we refer to these in Milwaukee. So what they did was to create a small lagoon, and they put a boathouse on the south side of it. and that was in 1893. And then in 1910, they moved that boathouse over to the present location of the pavilion. And in preparation for that, they created an island. So that was quite a big undertaking. And then they built the boathouse, which was made of concrete, and they connected it to the island, and people could cross and have picnics and view the lagoon from that island. So that boathouse had, as the name implies, rowboats that were for rent, but so did the original pavilion. And then they also had a warming room for ice skates and ice skating in the winter, and they also had concessions there, and it was open for meetings and gatherings and different occasions. So that was in 1910. And then in 1928, they expanded the lagoon again, because in 1920, land north of Idaho Street was purchased, and then the park became its present size of roughly 73 acres.
Right, so some of these buildings, like the two-story boathouse, there's some photos of what this lagoon looked like at its peak, and it's so impressive. But yeah, some of these buildings aren't here yet today, but the pavilion behind us, you see some of the land and stone, some of the original historic structures. And I had always assumed, like, maybe this was always here, but turns out it was built for the park as a maintenance structure and some other things. But for the building surrounding the pavilion, we also have tennis courts here. Does the general layout, is it similar to what it looked like at its peak?
Yes, pretty much so. The only difference is that there have been additions of playgrounds, the tennis courts were originally clay, and there's also a wading pool that is adjacent to the current service building. But you mentioned about this pavilion, which originally was the service building. That was built to replace the original boathouse, which was moved over here. And that was, of course, in 1910. And then, during the Depression, there were three WPA projects that occurred here. The building of the service building, the construction of the band shell, and an actual enhancement of the creek that used to flow from the lagoon. It took the overflow from the lagoon and then ended at the corner of Quincy and Oklahoma Avenue. But what you mentioned about this looking like a farmhouse, that's spot on, because it was intentionally built to look like a New England farmhouse. And in fact, there were different flowers and vines and things that were in back. If we look at the top of that building, we can see that there's a weather vane, which is a nod to the WPA workers who built it, and they intentionally included that, and it shows a worker with a wheelbarrow. And then in 1961, when the current service building over on Howell Avenue was constructed, that was built to look like this pavilion, or the former service building.
I love that weather vane nod to the WPA. I've looked at it all the time and I never made those connecting points. Now, you mentioned the band shell as part of those WPA projects. Now, the one that's standing here currently is, they call it a more Swedish chalet style band shell, but the original one had that classic 1900 Art Deco inspiration, kind of looked like the Washington Park band shell, right?
Yes, that's correct. And in fact, it was modeled on the Hollywood Bowl, and also in Chicago, but on a much smaller scale. But the Washington Park band shell, which still exists, was they were constructed at the same time as WPA projects. So this was in 1932, and it was the firm of Kloss and Kloss. And the way it was built, the inside was so reflective that they didn't need any lighting because the lighting from inside projected out to the seating for the audience. And there's a gradual slope uphill, and they used to have benches there, and it could hold up to 2,000 people. That was one of the top things in the park. There were all kinds of concerts and opera and very famous people who came here and also to Washington Park. Unfortunately, in 1976, due to arson, the band shell was destroyed. And the next year, it was rebuilt as the Chateau. And that Chateau was built upon the base of the old band shell. So that opened in 1977.
Yeah, and it's home to Chill on the Hill every Tuesday in the summer. And speaking of summer concerts, I think the Baby Drum Line is practicing in the distance over there. But that's kind of what I love about Milwaukee's county parks like these, is that it's such a central point to bring people together, no matter what activities they're doing or if they need an escape or just need to enjoy some green space. So thinking about the work that it took to build out this park, and having grown up here, ran through here during high school, cross country meets, all the things that it's played in your life, what's your favorite aspect about Humboldt Park?
I think it's the green space, which is really what we need nowadays. It's been shown that having these green spaces in cities is very beneficial for body, mind, and spirit. And in fact, the temperature is about 10 degrees cooler when you have these green spaces. And it just helps everybody's psyche to have this. And there are so many activities that people can participate in here, because there's walking and running, as you mentioned. There's the playgrounds. There's fishing. There's the different events that the Humboldt Park Friends sponsor. And it's just being able to come here and get a break from our urban perplexities and all of the anguish that accompanies our everyday living nowadays. It's great to see these trees, and there's flowers. The Humboldt Park Friends, they are the reason for this green space that we have.
Well, Ron, I want to thank you so much for spending a little time in the park with me today. I really enjoyed learning more about its history.
Thank you very much. I once again enjoy sharing Bayview's history with you.
Ron Winkler is a Bayview historian and author. We met at Humboldt Park ahead of the ceremony to designate the park as a historic landmark. The event is this Saturday at 1 p.m. and is free and open to the public at the Humboldt Park Pavilion.
You can find more interviews like this one by visiting wuwm.com/lakeeffect. And while you're there, subscribe to the Lake Effect Spotlight podcast.